Good morning, Jesus people and people at home. How are y'all this morning? Everybody all right? Like I told you earlier, I'm feeling better today. Oh my gosh. It was a rough week, but you know, that's why I picked that last song, because when you're afraid, and as a person of in the faith and a minister, sometimes we preach these things, but sometimes we don't actually believe them. And I had to really trust God. Man, I'm scared of needles. I'm scared of dentists. But he was with me, you know. And that pill that they gave me made me know I was there, but I didn't care. I don't think I liked that too much. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your pulpit, to preach to your people. These are not my people, but your people. And to say the things that you want me to say, to edify and lift up and bring your people from where they are to where you want them to be. Bless me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And I'm reading from Jen's mother's Bible. And, you know, I've been, Pastor Tom gave us a book by Pastor Marino. And I've been reading it. Me and Michael have been reading this book, and it's something else called Seeds. And, oh, it's powerful. But anyway, here it is from the New International. A time for everything. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So, I wanted that scripture because a lot of times when we preach, we try to get something that will touch the people that we're preaching to. And I came up with the idea that I won't preach to you. I'm preaching about me. Because when 2020 was coming, I took a look at myself and I said, I've got to change. I've got to change. So I was looking at who I am and the way I am. And one thing I realized about myself is that I am a warrior. I love fighting. I love competition. I love doing dangerous things. I love pitting myself against the forces. I love doing things that will get me killed, like jumping out of perfectly good airplanes and stuff like that. I love that kind of stuff. But then when I said, okay, so you're a warrior, so what does that mean? Well, that scripture cell tells us, and Keith could quote it, I mean, could tell you where it's found, but I just know it's in the Bible. A warrior puts on the helmet of salvation. A warrior puts on the breastplate of righteousness, all these straps and stuff. A warrior girds himself with truth. He puts on greaves to keep his legs there. And then the last thing, his feet are shod with the gospel for the preparation of peace. And I liked all this stuff and the sword of truth. I liked all that stuff. But then I remembered that I didn't too much focus on the gospel of peace. I got all this other stuff, the sword and the shield and the buckler and all that stuff. But the last thing that I should have is my feet shod with the gospel for the preparation of peace. And I said, that's the last thing I have. Guess what? When I started to focus on that, I said, that's down there, Lord. He said, yeah, that's where I want you, on your knees, praying to me. So I started to do that, and I started to try to change myself. And then I thought about it, and it hits my title. I said, I don't have time for this. We don't have time to play around with that whole scenario. We have to change ourselves, and we have to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. You know, and then I realized, then I wrote this out, the more changes I make, the more conflict I find. When you try to change yourself without God, you find a lot of conflict. The conflicts are great, but at the end, when the end comes, it's hard work to change. But guess what? Change, I will say it loud, change is a choice. You have to choose to change yourself. Because when you come to the realization that you don't have time for this anymore, then God will, you tell God, God, I'm sick of me. Because that's who it is. It's not nobody else. It's not Jan. It's not the church. It's not Pastor Tom. It's not people out there I don't know. It's me. You know, I know that song said, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, who? Standing in the need of prayer. So I'm the one who needs to change. And I think about when I've started to work on this message, I think about how Jesus used time. Well, let's go back further. People have always been conscious of time. When are you going to plant? When are you going to get it up out of the ground? When are you going to go to bed? When are you going to get up? What are you going to do? You're always conscious of time. Well, it used to be they watched the sun. They watched the seasons. They watched the birds. Then they started realizing, oh, wait a minute, we saw how the sun moves across this dial, and so we can tell what time it is. We saw how the candle burns down at a certain time, and we could tell what time it is. Then they started getting watches, and somebody invented the clock and water clocks and all kind of stuff. And so we always conscious of time. But sometimes we never take time to look at ourselves. We're always looking at someone else. We point the finger at them. And I remember as a young minister, going around telling people they're going to go to hell because they didn't do this and they didn't do this and they didn't do this. And this sweet old pastor, kind of toothless and bent over, and he grabbed me, boy. He said, boy, come here. I said, yes, sir. He said, point your finger out there. What you see? I see my finger pointing. He said, you ain't looking. Look again. Oh, I see two fingers going out, but I see three going back. He said, it's you. It's you that needs to stop. It's you that need to take time to look at this thing. And it's you who has to say to yourself, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to be wallowing in my sins. I don't have time for the pity. I don't have time to know, to feel that God is not with me. You have preached it. You have said it in your life. Jesus said, I'm always with you, always. I never leave you or forsake you. And there I was in that chair with that big needle coming in my mouth, and I knew he was there. I knew he was there. I saw it coming in, a big old, I thought it was like 8 feet long. I felt it, and then I kind of felt something pat me. Almost cried in the chair because I knew he was with me. I knew he was with me. And I didn't see the doctor afterwards. Jan said, I saw him. He was pasty white. His clothes were disheveled, and his hair was all over the place. That man went through hell to get this tooth out of my head. But he did it. And I realized that God, in the person of Jesus, was with me. I think about Jesus and as a young child. You remember when his family took him to the temple, and they were there for a couple of days or whatever. And then the family got together and went home. And they found out 2 days' journey from Jerusalem that Jesus wasn't with them. They went back to find him, and he was talking to the elders and discoursing with them. And they said, well, son, didn't you know that you should be with us? He said, I'm about my Father's business. He probably didn't say it, but he probably said to himself, I don't have time for this. I'm about my Father's business. He was on the ministry that he had come to do. And so they took him home there, but he was about his Father's business. And I thought about that too. I said, I need to be about my Father's business. I need to realize, and I need to look in the mirror at myself and say to myself, I don't have time for this foolishness. Because the ministry is real. The ministry is real and God is real. You know, and so I think about too, and it's humorous. Jesus got the disciples together, and he's probably been with them. I think his ministry was only 3.5 years, but it's probably a year into his ministry, and he's done miracles, and people have been healed, and he fed people and raised people up. And so now, probably the disciples said, well, when did we get a chance to do this? He said, oh, you want a chance? Okay, I'm going to send you out. So he told them, go out and minister to the people, heal them, raise the dead, feed them, comfort them. But if you go into a house where they don't receive you, shake the dust off of your feet. I had a problem with that one. Because then another scripture, and Keith, that's why I love you, but because you can come up with the where it's at. I just know the name of it. But he said, he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. So he said, go, and if they don't receive you, just take it someplace else. But don't worry about it, because you don't have time for this. You got to get this message across. It's got to be out there now. So they came back, and, you know, they were all excited. They did the ministry. They healed the sick. They raised some dead people. They fed them. They comforted them. And they went back to Jesus and said, Jesus said, well, what happened? And they said, boy, they were telling all the exciting things. I imagine it was Peter. Said there was one person, one house we went to, where there was a demon. We couldn't get it out. We did everything that you told us to. We couldn't get it out. And Jesus looked at them and said, this kind of demon takes prayer and fasting. That's time. It takes time to pray. It takes time to fast. If you fast for a day, that might not be enough. If you pray for a day, you might have to pray for a long time. I know that there's been people that Jen and I have prayed for, and seems like nothing happens. You know, we kind of like wanting to be involved in this thing. You know, I'm praying, so I want something to happen now. But Jesus said it takes prayer and fasting. And so he went and did it. But it took time. And I think about Jesus' mission. You know, he said when he stood up in the temple at the start of his early ministry, he walked in from the back. He picked up the Bible, the Torah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has appointed me and anointed me to preach the gospel, to restore sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and restore you back to God. And he said that. Then after that, he laid it down, and then he walked out. And guess what? Was the church happy about that? Whoa. He was going to get stoned. They wanted to kill him. Who is that? Is that the carpenter's son? Who do you think he is? It's the lowest of the low. And he went out to do his ministry because in his mind, and I'm hearing him say, I don't have time for this. He came to his own and they didn't receive him. But as many as received him to believe in his name, he gave power to become the sons of God. So Jesus does that for us. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself. I don't have time to get bogged up in my mind. Sometimes, because of my hearing, I'll hear you say something, and I think you said something else. And so, instead of me coming to you and saying, what did you say, what you mean? I go home, and I'm carrying that with me, that you said something wrong to me. And I have to let that go, because there is a bigger mission at play here. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to understand, why did he come? Why did his ministry come? And his ministry was on this short 3.5 year period. I think about Isaiah, and I know this one, Isaiah 53. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes they beat him. We are healed. Now think about that. I think about how he loved me so much. That's why I want to sing that song. Because we don't truly understand love sometimes. I have a grandson, and some of you guys got to meet him last summer. And I think the family is a little dysfunctional, and I think about how much I love this boy, and I want to do everything for him, but I have to consign him to Jesus. I can't be there. I can't be in Montana. But I love him, and I try to do what I can for him. But because Jesus loves me, I'm allowed to love him. I'm allowed to love Jan with the kind of love that's real. I'm allowed to love you with the kind of love that's real. And I'm not allowed to have time for foolishness. I'm not allowed to wallow in my sins. I'm not allowed to wallow in my despair, in my things that I don't have. Because we want stuff. We want stuff. Oh, gosh. Every time I get some money, I want stuff. But thank God I have a woman in my life who says, we have a mortgage to pay. You can't buy toys with this. You can't buy Jimbo. I can't buy every instrument I want. Right now, we went to hear the Asheville Jazz thing. Now I want a trombone. I don't even play the trumpet well, but I want a trombone now. So, you know. But Jesus will give you what you want. But sometimes when you pray for something, he says to you, no. He says, yes. And then the other one is wait. And the scripture that goes with that one is those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So I've learned, I got a little thing in the hallway from Andy Warhol said, when you wait for something, it makes it all the better. And I'm learning how to wait. And I wait, so I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about his ministry. I'm thinking about how everything that he did was in a timely manner. Like the Sermon on the Mount, you know, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, all the people came together. When he went to Lazarus' tomb, and Lazarus had been in the tomb for 3-4 days, and he smelled it, and Jesus said, I'm going, but I'll take my time because I want you to see what I'm going to do. He didn't have time for all this stuff. You can't hurry God. You have to wait till God comes. But when he went there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And they said, Lazarus came out the tomb. Guess what? He's telling me to come forth. He's telling me to come out from my despair, come out from my depression, come out from my anxiety, come out from all the things that keep me away from being a full human being in Christ. In Christ, I'm a new creature. Jim has to go away. I have to be new. I have to be restored. I have to be understanding that I don't have time for this. You know, now, I'm supposed to have time for everything else, but I don't have time to stay there. I don't have time to wallow. I don't have time to feel pity for myself because God has given me everything that I need. Everything. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about the things that I want. Do I really need them? Right now in my mind, I told Jan, I want a stone. Well, I want a piece of marble. I want a piece of soapstone. I want something to carve. But do I really need it? No, I don't really need it. I want it. But the things that we want sometimes, we have to work on those. We have to work on our selfish desires. We have to understand that when you get to the point in your life where you're fed up with yourself, y'all hear me? You got to be fed up with yourself. You're fed up with your condition. You're fed up with the way you've been thinking, the way you've been doing, the way you've been acting. You get fed up and you say to myself, I don't have time for this. Well, then you have to fill it with something else. And fill it with the word of God. Fill it with the things that you know that'll work. Because all my life, and I'm 74 years old now, I know that Jesus has been with me every step of the way. Even when I didn't realize he was there. I was thinking about the other day. I used to skydive. I haven't done it for a while. But I remember that we were at 12,000 feet. And the helicopter pilot was telling the people on the ground what the wind looked like. And so they said, oh, it's okay. And they said, okay, Jim, you can go. Well, just as I went, the wind changed. And so And they were saying, now when you get to 3,500 feet, you wave off and you pull your parachute. Well, I was down to, I'm looking at my altimeter, and I could see the dial going down. It was like 7,000, then it was 5,000, then it was 3,000. I couldn't see anything, and I didn't pull. And so people were standing, people were sitting on the ground, and then I kept getting closer, and then they stood up, and then they started running over where I was coming, going to hit the ground. At 2,000 feet, I pulled the parachute, opened up. I got one oscillation, and I hit the ground. And one little girl came over to me and said, are you going to do that again? No! I almost died. But the reason was I didn't quite understand. And then after the jump was over, they said, oh, we use you for the wind dummy. We're going to let the wind take you where it goes. Huh? Yeah, I said I was. I was the wind dummy. But see, but I just realized that when this happened, that God was with me. That everything that needed to go right went right. The parachute was packed right. My form was right. I looked around. I did everything that was right. Now, what did I need? I needed Lord to help me. I needed that thing to open immediately. I need that pilot chute to pull the main bag out. I need the chute to open up. And then I need to land correctly. And I was able to do all that thing, but it wasn't Jim. It wasn't Jim. It was God. Because I realized in my own self, in my own way, that I wasn't doing what God wanted to be. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And I think about that he is our shepherd. He came to be the propitiation or the stand-in for us and our sins. The Father let him come and take on our sins so we could, the price for sin could be paid. He's our shepherd. And he says to me, and as I close, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our shepherd today. And I want you to say to yourself, I don't have time for this. When you come to the point where you can see yourself as you really are, because that's what I had to do. When you see yourself as you really are, not as how you think people see you, but as you really are, you realize you do not have time to be the way you are.